Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network here with you guys talking offensive tackles on a Tuesday. So far, so good. Your favorite position. We made it through day one, Trev. How do you feel?
You know, I thought it performed pretty well day one.
It's a 29-minute podcast.
I was surprised. I thought I brought some good insight to the table. People are probably screaming at their headphones right now. But so day two, let's do it.
Okay, we're talking about Trey Adams from Washington, David Edwards from Wisconsin, and Greg Little from Ole Miss. Who is the biggest bum of the three of them?
No, okay. I have, kid. But I mean, if you're actually asking that, I would say it's Little, because correct. I don't think he has any idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
I just think that, like, there were some times that I watched him, the couple of games that I was able to watch, where it would be a clear, like, blitz coming at him, or the defensive end was clearly, like, his assignment, and he would almost, like, have his head turned the wrong way, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You're gonna get him killed. And sometimes he did. So that was kind of my thing with Greg Little. Obviously, giant dude, moves pretty well for his size. That's the obvious stuff, and that's why, you know, I just want to say this.
Dude. Also, the number one high school recruit, I think, in the country.
We do these, so like, you and I and Kyle and Joe and Ben and Brad have put in so much work looking at this film over the summer to try and at least get a head start and some education of what we have going into the season. And I'm just trying to think, and I don't even mean to say this like egotistically, if the Draft Network wasn't around right now, we would all basically be like, yeah, Greg Little's a top five offensive tackle, because all of the early mock drafts had Greg Little going like top 10.
Yep.
Like all of them. Right. And it literally took me like two games of watching Greg Little to be like, I'm not drafting this guy in the top 10. You?
I think you just brought up a great point, and it's one of the big reasons, and again, it's going to sound like we're tooting our own horn, but that is the big difference between us and what you typically hear this time of year. This time of year, typically, it's you hear all the big media sites are putting out all the popular names that you've heard over the years, you know, whether guys are good or not. What, somebody was just writing about Jalen Hurd, how he was like one of the best prospects in the draft if he had come out when he was in Tennessee.
I felt like I was the biggest Jalen Hurd fan ever, and I even thought, like, this is a day three dude.
Right. Like, it was, you know, it just – so there's just so much – and then we wonder why we get to the draft, and these dudes come out of nowhere, and we're like, whoa, what the heck? Like, that guy – it's because those guys didn't have the name coming out or whatever. So it is nice to – that's one of our biggest passions, at least, is to provide people with, like, literally just – unbiased. Like, we don't care about what your high school recruiting was. We don't care about any of that stuff. You're like, we're watching the tape to actually see if you're good. We're not putting a sixth or seventh round grade on you like someone did with Dalton Risner. By the way, you say his last name, Risner.
Risner.
Yeah. So screwed that up. We thought there was one name I couldn't get wrong.
And you did it.
No,
you
found Fran Duffy. Our boyfriend Duffy hit me up. He listens to our pod on the way home all the time. He'll text me different things about it. So always appreciate hearing his insights too, obviously. And we've had him on the pod, and we'll have him again on here soon. But he texted me, or he hit me up on Twitter, and he was like, I'm about to blow your mind, but I'm pretty sure you still said Risner's name wrong. I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
But going back to that thing, it's a lot of work. Putting in, you know, looking at a bunch of game tape to actually come up with a more updated opinion. I don't even want to call it like more educated, because I think that anybody that looked at the film could see this stuff. So it's not like we're super enlightened over here. It's like we watch the film, and clearly there are a lot of early mock drafts that come out over the summer that just look at names and go, yeah, this guy was a high recruit coming out of high school. Okay, well, it's almost 3 years after that. What's he done since? Mm-hmm. It took me basically one game, but I watched a couple other ones of Greg Little to be like, that dude still doesn't know what he's doing. That dude is a project right now. And talented kid, big kid, athletic kid. Obviously, there's a reason why he was highly recruited, but we're talking right now projection to the NFL, man. It's You know, I'm a guy, I think even a little bit more than you are sometimes, that'll take a risk on little things I see here and there with prospects. But like, if you think Greg Little's going round one, that's a big risk right now.
Right. And you never know. He can make a leap this year. That would be, you know,
sure,
great.
Right.
The tools are there.
Right now, yeah.
Right. And I think you're exactly spot on. I think you're talking about a toolsy guy with great mobility. I thought I loved his aggressive streak. You know, this is a guy I definitely would take to develop. But, man, this tackle class looks good. Like, I think it looks good right now. You're telling me he's supposed to be one of the top five guys off the board. He better make a big leap this season. That's all I'm saying. Like, you know, I get that people are going to look at Colton Miller going to the first. They're going to love these guys with tools, long, you know, athletic type of tackles, and I get it. But to me, I just think Little has to take a big step to move up on my board. If the NFL wants to play games with tackle prospects and draft them based off tools rather than refinement at a position that the league doesn't develop very well typically. Now, some guys, you land in a great spot and it's definitely possible, but, you know, if they want to play that game.
I just want to have you expound upon that a little bit, because I've definitely noticed that, like, even over the last year we've been doing this podcast, and when we go over teams and their team needs going into the offseason and everything, you always have a really good pulse on, or it seems, on teams like, for example, their offensive line. So what you said right there is actually really intriguing. How much do tackle prospects and even offensive line prospects in general develop as opposed to like other positions? Is it like a highly developed, like, can you really get a guy who, like Greg Little, is like has a lot of potential? And do you see the NFL mold these guys often, or is it more often than not you get them in the league and not a lot happens with them?
Well, I think it depends where they go. Like, if you're going to Philadelphia or Pittsburgh right now, that's awesome news for you. You know, those are the spots you want to be at. I mean, Philadelphia's done it with Lane Johnson. They've made Stefan Wisniewski a capable player. They've developed Jason Kelsey's game to being a really great athlete, to being one of the best centers in the league. So, I mean, Dallas is the same way. Frederick was a little more raw than people remember coming out, and they did really good things with him. Tyron Smith had some rawness to him. Obviously, guys that had the right combination of traits and toughness and coachability, so that stuff was important. The other thing is no bad habits. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things that people overlook. It's actually more okay to have a tackle that's raw, like that guy for the Eagles right now. Ben Solak was just telling us today, Jordan Maiataie, I don't even know
how to
say his name.
Rugby dude?
Yeah, the rugby dude. Like, okay. The Eagles coaches, what they say to Ben when he asked him about it, they said, he is great to work with because there's no bad habits. You're building him from the ground up. Dude's never passed that before. I know Mike Munchak thought the same thing with Alejandro Villanueva. There was no bad habits with him. You were just teaching him to play the position from scratch. So those guys are sometimes easier to teach than guys like Colton Miller, who came out and had that real bad false step. Now, it's kind of gone away in preseason, so that's been helpful, but then I saw it creep up in the last preseason game again. So it's just harder to break those habits than it is to teach them raw. So those are all things to look for when you're scouting tackles, I think. To me, Little didn't have like quite as many bad habits. But again, he's going to settle into kind of this mode where I don't have to reach a deeper set point against speed because I'm a good athlete and I can just make it up naturally. You know, like you'll see him take his first step in that kick step, and then if a guy looks like he's going to beat him to the edge, he just kind of abandons form and chases him up the arc. You do that in the NFL, you're getting countered inside every single time.
Yeah,
you're going to look like
a
fool.
Right.
That's just the way that it is. So that's why reaching that proper range in your set point so you can stay square, you know, eyes up on the defender, and you don't have to compromise your form is so important, I think, and that's something that he'll need to develop still. So talented football player, but there's a lot of technique and footwork that is going to need to take the next step with him this season.
Yep.
A couple other things we want to let you guys know about. This happened last week. Really exciting stuff on the Locked On Network, but we're launching a bunch of shows covering college football. So if you are a fan of Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Florida, go Gators.
What up?
Kentucky, Oklahoma, Baylor, Penn State, Oregon, or BYU. I got some BYU faithful because
wow,
I love Fred Warner. They follow me on Twitter. I'm going to have to hit them up and tell them we got a BYU pod. Locked On BYU. Locked On Cougars, I think it's called. Go to Apple
Locked
Podcasts.
On Cougs.
Locked On Cougs. Go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and follow for free. It's the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. So we talked about Greg Little, Trevor, but he's definitely in my mind, he was the roughest of these three.
Yes.
And Edwards was the most polished, I thought. Which, he was youngest, I think, last year of those three guys, I think.
Okay, tell me what you liked about Edwards. Because I might have some counters.
Yeah, I mean, Edwards is not super sexy, I guess. So he's a Wisconsin offensive lineman, so that may not surprise anyone. But he just kind of has a very straightforward approach to the game. Really heavy hands, times his strikes well. Kind of the opposite of Greg Little, and then I don't think there's a whole bunch of upside with it, David Edwards, and there may be some matchups where he's a little overmatched athletically, but understands his set points, not super explosive out of his stance, but smooth, doesn't give up inside rush lanes really easily, gets his hands on guys first. I love that about him. Gets his hands on guys first consistently, you know, and he handled Nick Bosa a couple times. He did a really nice job, so I thought there were really good traits, really good technique already with David Edwards. Traits are not quite as high end as some of the other guys in this class, and that may be where he eventually falls behind. But I still think he's a good. I don't think he's like a bad athlete. I don't think he's a liability. He seems very comfortable on the right side. Seems to understand his angles well. So I felt really good about him over there.
I didn't know what to think of this dude because there were times when I would like watch him, you know, hit a double team and go to the second level where he just moves really well. And he'll do that extremely smooth. And I'm like, wow, okay, this guy can move. He's a good athlete. And then there are other times where I'm watching him try to transition that kind of movement into like his shuffle and his step back and pass protection. And I felt like he would just get burned around the edge or on a counter really easily. So I'm like, now I don't even know what kind of an athlete he is. You talked about him having heavy hands, and I agree that there were some times where I thought that he could get in front of guys and give them a little bit of push, but I thought there are other times where like I thought he would engage an offensive lineman first, and his punch was super weak, and they would just knock his hands away, and he would get right back inside. I think I watched the Ohio State game, the Rutgers game. What was the other one? There was a third game that I watched too, but those are the games that I watched of him, and there was a lot coming at him. I'm not saying there weren't, and I think that in my mind, I went away thinking that he was an okay offensive lineman, but I thought, especially against Ohio State, like he had quite a bit of trouble trying to mirror guys. Like I felt like he couldn't stay in front of them. I thought that maybe he could redirect them a little bit, but I thought too easily, whether it was defensive tackles, linebackers, defensive ends, I thought they were getting by him too, or at least getting by his shoulders away from like his square way too easily. And he was resorting to just trying to redirect guys instead of really blocking guys. And if he was giving up that against guys like at Ohio State, well, Ohio State's got some NFL players. So
I felt like the Ohio State game was good. Did you see that in Ohio State, in the Ohio State game? Or I didn't watch
it. I did. I I don't know. You evaluate O-line obviously differently than I do, but I felt like he had a hard time mirroring guys, and he was redirecting more than blocking, more than I was comfortable with. And I'm thinking when the competition goes up and when he gets to the NFL, that failure to really block guys instead of redirecting him might turn into pressures and sacks and that kind of stuff. And so
I think that's fair. I thought he was
okay. I thought he did a lot of like I kept watching him like, okay, this guy's all right. I could deal with this guy, but I wasn't blown away by him, so that was
I kind of felt the same way. I mean, I think that's a fair way to describe him, is that he was solid but not spectacular. Like you said, I think that there are times when you worry about what would happen to him versus speed. Plus, Wisconsin's pretty run heavy. There's some concepts in there that get the ball out quick, and I don't know, you know, whether he'll be tested a little bit more depending on where he goes in the NFL.
Chris Worley, I remember specifically, Chris Worley got the better of him. Just speed rushing off the edge. Wait, did I say that right? The linebacker, right?
That's who the linebacker, is? Yeah. The off-ball
guy. 35, yeah. Chris Worley, right? Okay, right. I'm not losing my mind.
No, I don't even remember that. Now I was watching him, and I was watching Ben Schweizel and
who I haven't. I didn't turned on. I didn't put him under a microscope yet, but people seem to like him.
Yeah, we've got it. We've got interior line to talk about at least a little bit this week too. But they have like four NFL prospects on that offensive line.
And the center, it's Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin,
right,
so
right. The center might be the best one, honestly. The one that gets talked about the least.
Oh, okay.
Tyler Biadas. I don't know how to say his name. Actually, I think I'm just going to call him Tyler Badass on the show because that's literally what his last name looks like. It's like B-I-A-D-A-S-Z.
Oh, yeah, that dude. Okay.
Yeah, like, so right. It's like, I mean, it's, you know, kind of seems like if you watch his game.
Putting his scouting report in. Yeah, I just exactly. didn't understand his name.
Yeah. So you thought Trey Adams was the best one?
I did. I thought Trey Adams was the best one.
I am torn on Trey Adams, man.
I wish Trey Adams had more of a mean streak.
Yeah, like he seems like he's kind of content just to like let guys go and like, yeah, not a finisher at all and dances around a little bit, but like he also could get moved out of, like guys could get under because he didn't initiate contact and he didn't really set the tone right away, even though he was in good positioning, good hand strikes and everything like that. Like he didn't really take control and he ended up like getting tossed off, you know, and then we give up some pressures and it wasn't like immediate, but I don't know. Yeah. I wanted to see more from Trey Adams. I think like, I kind of liked Edwards a little bit more, although you may have to help him in certain matchups. I felt like I knew what I was getting on a snap to snap basis more than I knew what I was getting with Adams. You know, not that Adams is like this terribly inconsistent, you know, untechnical offensive lineman. I think that he's, you know, pretty fairly consistent. I just don't think he consistently does anything great.
I thought that Trey Adams was actually pretty good. I thought that he was pretty dang solid. He wasn't mean enough. Also, I don't know. He just didn't seem mean enough to me.
And Washington's offense helps him out. I mean, you know, just the way they move the pocket and it just, and the defenses he plays helps him out too. Like, I'm like waiting for him to get like, is there going to be some speed off the edge or like, does he have to handle a nine technique or, and there, man, just like these guys in square stances firing out at him, not really testing him. It just felt like,
It's funny going from conference to conference, isn't it?
Dude. It is real.
Especially like, because you are the resident SEC guy for the Draft Network. And yeah. So you watch SEC. And I feel like every week in the SEC, they're trying to blitz you more. Like they're literally just trying to bring more pressure every single week.
Alabama brings more complicated pressures than most teams in the NFL.
And they win national championships. I don't understand why this isn't being replicated.
I mean, I think it is, but it's hard to pull off when you don't have this many. Like, one of the reasons Alabama can just run game after game after game, which requires these guys to move so much, is that they just roll out five stars. I mean, who had the sack in the national championship game that put Georgia in where they had to kick that long field goal? He made it. That kid with the goggles made it. And then Tua came out and threw the touchdown, obviously. But remember who had that sack? No, of course you don't, because it's Alabama, and there's like 50 dudes that play on the defensive line. It was Terrell Lewis who just tore his ACL, but he was like one of their fourth edge guys, and he came in, he was on
and
the
Nick
edge.
Nick Saban said that Alabama can't poop out five stars, and that's bullcrap.
Yeah, I mean.
All right?
Yeah.
Because they can.
Why is he even saying, don't even fight it, dude. He just should know. Don't fight it, man.
Nick Saban likes to be a butt. Yeah, like he just likes to say, like he likes to be like, oh, I don't know why you guys think we're so good this year. What do you think?
We could lose
Nick?
To Texas Southern. That's what he said.
Why do you think we think you're good, Nick? Probably because in 12 weeks you're going to be playing for the national title. That's why.
Every year, too. What? How many years in a row has it been? Three? Where they've been in
he
it?
Does
four?
That. Now, I guess, but maybe that's a good sign of him as a coach to literally say that live on national media where he basically tells his players they ain't crap.
They ain't going to be in the national title game this year. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, it depends on how the playoff comes out, but.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It ain't going to be them. Is that our offensive line takes?
Are you a Georgia truther?
Oh, yes. I don't know why, and I know we're not even talking about this today, but I don't know why people aren't looking at Georgia as the national champion
favorite.
It's
weird, man. Like, it's weird.
What else do you want them to have? Like, they have everything. They lost Isaiah Wynn. The other starters all return on the offensive line. Fromm's a year older. They've got weird. Terry Godwin. They've got their receiving corps is going to be better. They've got Riley Ridley, Terry Godwin, Michael Hardman, who the Demetrius Robertson kid, if he even plays, he's that wide receiver four, former five-star kid, who was balling out of Cal. They got freaking DeAndre Swift. They got Elijah Holyfield, Brian Harry, and the backfield's still loaded even after losing Chubb and Michelle. They're going to be fine
sense,
there.
Man.
I mean, the defense lost Roquan Smith. You can replace Lorenzo Carter and Davin Bellamy. Ledbetter and what's-his-face, DeAndre Walker will be fine. Interior D-line's good. Still have Tyler Clark. I mean, Yeah, they're gonna miss Roquan. That's true. But if they can replace Roquan, the secondary will be better without Dominic Sanders back there. He was bad. Another year for Baker. That Tyreek McGee kid's good. J.R. Reed's a stud. I don't know, man. I have no idea why people think they're not the national champion.
You and I should start the Locked On Georgia podcast.
Listen, was it on that? It wasn't on that list, right?
I don't think it was yet. Maybe but we'll if you think I'm going to talk about Georgia,
yeah,
you're
that's
wrong.
True. I was going to say, what are you saying out here? Jeez, your
times
Florida
are hard
people going to hear
for
you.
A Florida fan, John.
Are you adopting Georgia as your second team?
Absolutely not.
I'm just going to cut that clip right where you say absolutely. Just send it to the people.
Thanks.
Listen to this, traitor Gator fans.
No context radio. Gotta love it.
There's our thoughts on three of the top offensive tackles in the class. Tomorrow we talk interior offensive line. Which interior offensive lineman? Well, we haven't decided yet, but whatever we decide, it'll be brilliant and you'll like it. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.